My name is Edgar Flurry. Today is November 2nd, 2021. We're going to be discussing, petition 21-035. Could you state your name for the record, petitioner?
Yes, John Heatley, Marvin Poor Company, representing the petitioner.
Melissa Cullen, Property Appraiser's Office.
Doug Mack with the Property Appraiser's Office.
Raise your right hand and solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
I do.
I do.
Mr. Heatley, you know the information, the opening statement, correct? You're familiar with the procedures.
I've read them,
okay.
Yes, sir.
Very good. Please proceed.
The front page of our packet is a cover summary page. The second page is our summary of evidence or exchange of evidence form. The next two pages are the table of contents. Page one is the beginning of the property record card for the subject property. And if you will, please turn to page eight. It says case synopsis. This is petition 2021-035. This is a multi-tenant medical professional office condominium building. The parcel number is R31223189046000000030. The key number is 1150783. The owner is Spring Hill Business Center, LLC. The address is 224 Mariner Boulevard in Spring Hill. This is a medical professional office condominium building within an office park.
You said condominium?
Yes, sir. It was built in 2003. It has 10,064 leasable square feet. The date of value is January 1st of 2021. The 2021 just assessed and taxable value is $1,231,210. Please turn to page 9. As I just mentioned, this is an office condominium building located within an office condo park comprised of four buildings. The subject building has three units for a total of 10,064 leasable square feet. Unit 224 is currently occupied by Bose Chiropractic and is built out as medical office space. The vacant unit is available for lease and built out as medical office space. And unit 236 is occupied by Kids First Therapy and is built out as professional office space.
Excuse me, one vacant space?
Yes.
Thank you.
The subject property was listed for sale at $1.2 million. We are aware that the property is under contract, but I am unsure when it did go under contract because the contract was not dated when it was signed. It does state in the contract, which is included in the petitioner's evidence, that the contract must be delivered to all parties on or before August 20th of 2021. It is reportedly being purchased by the tenant, Bose Chiropractic, who will reportedly continue to occupy Unit 224. And when we went out to inspect the property, they also stated that they will be occupying the vacant unit. Last year from 2020 to 2021, I looked at that park and looked at the values in the park, and they were adjusted downward So there was an adjustment from 2020 to 2021 for this, the subject property. Please turn to page 15.
Okay.
As previously mentioned, there is 72% medical office space in the subject building and 28% professional office space. We utilize four sales located in Hernando County, and they consist of veterinary office space, two professional office spaces, and medical office space.
Excuse me, are they condominiums?
No, sir. It's very difficult to find office condominium comps in this, in the Hernando market. May I proceed?
Oh, yes, please.
Okay. The four sales sold from September of 2017 up to August of 2019. If you turn to page 16, I made a market conditions adjustment for time. I also considered location, age condition, quality design and build out, size, and land to building ratio, which would take into consideration the parking ratio. After adjustments, my sales ranged from $113.23 per square foot to $165.64 per square foot. And I reconciled in the sales comparison approach to $137 per leasable square foot for a final value in the sales comparison of $1,378,768. If you will, please turn to page 17. The subject's financial information for 2020 was provided to us during the evidence exchange process. For the lease fee valuation, the subject's actual rental rates for the Bose chiropractic space is $12 per square foot on a triple net basis. For the vacant space that was listed, they were marketing it at $12 per square foot on a triple net lease basis. For Kids First Therapy, that is leased at $11.37 per square foot on a gross lease basis. If you will, please turn to page 18. On page 18, I've just shown the leased fee direct cap for the subject, and I am showing the actual rents for each unit. The reimbursement income is showing just the reimbursement for the two spaces that are leased and will be leased at a triple net rate. It does not include the gross lease. I utilize their actual vacancy at 40%. I utilize their actual expenses. I used an 8% cap rate and loaded it with the millage rate for a final lease fee value of $634,308. Next, if you'll turn to page 28, I'm going to discuss the income approach for the fee simple value. We used five rentals that were medical office and professional office space. They were located in Hernando and Pasco counties. Rentals one and two are confidential because it was information that was provided to us by other properties in the county. The actual leases occurred from November of 2019 up to January of 2021. They were gross and triple net leases, ranging from a rental rate of $16 to $19 per square foot. If you will please turn to page 29. We adjusted the two gross leases for expense structure to equate them to a triple net lease structure. We also adjusted three of the leases for time, just as we did in the sales comparison approach. We considered the same secondary adjustments for the rentals as we did in the sales comparison approach. Our final rental rates ranged from $1,230 to $1,918 per square foot. We arrived at a rental rate of $1,550 per leasable square foot for the medical office space and $13 per leasable square foot for the professional office space. On page 30 and 31, you can see we have included some vacancy surveys. On page 32, we've included expense surveys. On page 33, we have included expense comparables. Beginning on page 35 and continuing to page 36, we've included cap rate surveys. And if you will, please turn to page 38, and you can see the fee simple direct cap. For unit 224 and the vacant medical office space, I utilized $1,550 per leasable square foot. For unit 236, the professional office space, I utilized $13 per leasable square foot. I included a reimbursement income and deducted a stabilized vacancy of 5%. I used expenses based on the expense comparables. And I used an 8% cap rate and loaded it with the millage rate for a final value of $1,339,688. On page 39, I put primary weight on the income approach, and I reconciled to an as-is fee simple market value of the subject as of January 1st of 2021 at $1,351,412. The addendum just includes legal information and property record cards for the sales and rental comparables. And that's all I have for now.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. The property appraiser's evidence is Exhibit 1 and is admissible. Mr. Heatley, thank you.
Before we get started on our presentation of our evidence, I did have some questions of the property appraiser's evidence that was submitted.
Could we go with your testimony first and then cross-examine?
Sure, that's fine. I'm sure you're familiar with our packet, Mr. Flaherty. We're respectfully requesting on page 3. I'm sorry these pages are not numbered, but it's the page 3 of our analysis. We're respectfully requesting the valuation of the property be reduced to $910,000 for tax year 2021.
Okay.
The next page is our letter of authorization from the taxpayer to allow Marvin Poor Company to represent him in this proceeding. The following page is our appeal summary. As Ms. Cullen stated, the property was listed for sale for $1.2 million. The current assessment on the property is $1,231,210, which is above the listing price. The listing was in place prior to January 1. And it's been listed for quite some time. I believe it was February. I've got a copy of it, but I believe it was February of 2020 when the property was listed for sale. It is under contract at this point. The next page is a copy of the sell or listing brochure. It was listed by Equity Commercial. It kind of gives the highlights of the property. The asking price was $1.2 million. The following pages after that are the property record card, which I believe the property appraiser has already gone over. Then starts the income approach. Let me know if I'm going too fast for you.
Income approach, next page.
All right. This is the actual operating statement for the property. We've highlighted the amounts that we've actually backed out, which is mortgage interest and principal, property taxes, and contributions by owner.
Everything in yellow is backed out.
Yes, sir. We actually have the page following that as a summary of that operating statement for 2020. We also have the operating statement or the summary for 2019 and 2018. As you can see that the property appraiser or the property actual income has continually gone down from 2018 to 2020 due to vacancy. And you can also see the operating expenses for the property prior to real estate taxes. In 2018, it was $4.73. In 2019, $3.77. And then in 2020, it was $4.49. And that's not including any allowance for replacement reserves.
Hang on one second, please.
And capitalizing that out, loading the cap rate, we're at prior to first and eighth adjustment. As you can see that the indication of value with actual income is much less just because of the vacancy that's happened to the property.
Hang on one second, please. I want to check something here. Okay.
Okay. The next page begins our pro forma. We looked at, this is a lease recap. I think the property appraiser had testified. Two out of the three units are occupied. However, the biggest unit is vacant, and that consists of 4,008 square feet. It's been vacant since 2018, according to our records. The 2019 lease for Bose Family Chiropractic took effect in September of 19, so a little over 2 years ago now, and it was a 4.5-year deal that ends in January 31st in 2025. The next page shows whether or not the property is the leases are net or pro rata share. As you can see, and I believe the property appraiser testified that the kids first therapy lease that was initiated back in 2012 is a gross lease, and the Bose Family Chiropractic lease was a triple net lease.
The one at 1137 was gross?
Yes, sir.
And the one at 12 was net?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Based on the asking rent for the space, for the vacant space of $12 triple net, we applied that to the entire property. We feel like that the older lease for the kids' therapy, 1137, may be a little below market. However, at $12 a square foot, they haven't been able to lease the bigger space. So we felt like that was a pretty good indication of rent, at asking rent of $12. We've also looked at what it's going to cost to lease that space. Is the next page, $12 market rent, reimbursements of $5 a square foot, tenant improvement cost of $15. Since it's been vacant for quite some time, we did an absorption year of 3 years with a 3-year lease. The discount rate, about a half a point higher or 50 basis points higher than the cap rate we used in our analysis. taking the property from 60% to 90% occupancy. The present value of that lease-up cost was $117,386.
Question, how long was the 4,000 square feet vacant?
It's still vacant.
How long has it been vacant?
Approximately 3 years now. And that shows in the income statement. As you can see, income started to decrease substantially in 2019 and okay. Further went down in 2020.
Thank you.
So 2 to 3 years. I believe it's the same cap rate information that the property appraiser put forth from Realty Rates. So I won't go into that. Institutional grade versus investor grade preferences. This would not be considered investor grade due to the size, location of the property. So it's going to get a higher cap rate than an investment grade property would be. So we've included that PwC stuff. And you can see for medical office and even these are all stabilized, but it's showing 6 to 8%, average 7. But again, that is a stabilized property.
Is that the is that the PwC?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yeah, 98? And that's a national. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then we have the Realty Rates report, terminal cap rate for South, I believe it's Southeast or South Investments for office anywhere from 8.5 to 11.5 with an average of, actually the going in is 7.9 to 11 and the terminal cap rate's 8 to 12. Average on around 9%. We utilized 8.5 for the property. So the following page is our pro forma analysis. A $12 growth, a $12 rent, stabilized occupancy at 90%, and that includes all forms of rent loss in our analysis. We added back $5 for pass-through income. And then we only remove $4 because we're not including the property tax component for operating expenses. And that $4 is actually less than what the property was experiencing in 2020. Gives us a reconstructed NOI of $113,723, capitalized at an 8% cap rate. With the tax rate loaded into it is 9.57. Gives us an indication of value of $1,188,774. We've got the lease-up cost to stabilization at $117,386, and then the cost to sell allowance to put us at $910,679. The next page is our market approach. We looked at, it looks to be about 6 sales in the market. I believe most of these were in Hernando County. Some of them might even be the same sales that the property appraiser put forth. You got the first sale in Baum Street, in Weekiwachi. That's a 2019 sale, Class B office. Again, we had the same issue finding condominium sales in Hernando County. It's pretty much a difficult task.
Any of these condominiums?
No, sir. These are all office buildings.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, sir. But we had the first sale sold in 19 for $93.66 a square foot. We had a sale in Spring Hill. That sold for $122. That's a 2021 sale, so it's after the lien date, but that sold for $122.21. And then we had a sale back, another sale in April of 21 that sold for $99.67. We had a property on Lamson Avenue. That's a September 2020 sale for $82.70. Another Spring Hill sale on Merida Boulevard, which is it's currently under contract. That's the subject property. And then 475 Mariner in Spring Hill as well. That was sold in 19 for $121 a square foot. But again, these are medical office buildings. The next is the listing agreement. As you can see, the listing agreement ran from February 13th, 2020 through December 31st, 2020. and the list price was $1.2 million. That listing agreement was extended into 21. The price had not changed at the point, and we put that forth as evidence. That actually was signed in February 18th of 2020. From my experience, and I do have a little bit of experience, kind of long in the tooth, listing price is usually going to set the upper limit of value. We do have instances, especially in single-family markets, where there's bidding wars, but the fact that the property was listed for sale for over a year before it went under contract, I don't believe that's the case in this particular instance. The next is the purchase and sale agreement. As the property appraiser testified, one of the tenants in the building is under contract to purchase the property for $1,150,000. It's our opinion that the property is worth more to the tenant and the purchaser, the buyer, than it would be on the open market, because he already has his operations there and is already functioning as a business. So the property is probably worth more to him than it would be to somebody buying it as an investment, based on the income that's in place at the present time. So the fact that it's after the first of the year, we understand that. Closing is on December 7th, so it's almost a full year after the lien date, but it does give an opinion of value of what a willing buyer and a willing seller have come to terms on. Like I said before, I think the price is inflated because, first of all, they already have a bundle of the rights associated with the property being a leasehold interest, and that generally speaking, again, the property would be worth more to the tenant than it would be to somebody else buying the property. So I included a copy of the PSA for your consideration as well. And then the addendum, which I've seen, I believe you're very familiar with the having taken the special master, the magistrate training classes, of the cost of sale analysis and the advisory opinions from the Department of Revenue. So I'm not going to belabor that anymore at this time, but that pretty much proceeds or concludes our presentation of evidence. It was listed for 1.2. It's under contract for $1,150,000, and we believe that even under contract at $1,150,000, it's probably still being sold for more than it's actually worth.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Healy. The evidence presented by the petitioner is Exhibit 2 and is admissible. Please proceed.
Okay, I'm gonna bring up some points and also discuss some of his evidence.
Are you gonna refer to his package?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Anyone that knows this area and has been to the property knows that this is a very densely developed area. It is, I'm gonna say, less than a minute from a hospital. This specific building year after year has been disputed, and I'm not sure why, because I've never had any other disputes or anyone have vacancies in that park. So I'm not sure why that is. If you will, please turn to his page that shows the three-year income history.
The three-year what? Income?
Income history, yes.
Okay. Okay, that's one highlighted in yellow, 2021 and 18?
Yes.
Excuse me, 2019 and 18?
Yes. Okay. All I want to point out is that when you look at the per square foot numbers that are shown in this chart, it's based on the entire square footage of the building. So, for example, it's showing the rental income of 2020 of $67,382. When in fact, when in fact, that's not the total for the entire building. They shouldn't be, in my opinion, showing it based on the total building square footage because it's deceiving. The next thing I would like you to look at is
so it's not based on 10,064?
I don't think it should be. I'm wondering if it should be based on what was actually leased because that's the actual rent collected.
Is that the actual rent that was collected?
Yes, sir. And the statement was attached.
Right. So if that's the actual rent collected and you're taking the total building square footage and dividing it into that, their rent isn't actually $670 per square foot.
What is it?
It would be the $1,137 to $12 per square foot if they used the units that were actually leased, not the total area. My point is it's very deceiving.
Okay. I'm at a loss here, okay? The $67,000 is the actual rent that was collected for those two tenants.
Correct.
Okay. And he divided by the gross, not for the area of those two tenants.
Correct.
Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure of that. Okay.
Now, if you will, look at the maintenance and repairs expenses.
Hold on. Hold on. Write this down here. Okay, please proceed.
The maintenance and repairs expenses seem significantly high. I do know that I want to say a year to 2 years ago, they were building out the vacant space, and I'm wondering if that's inclusive of that. There were no permits pulled to build out that space. However, I looked at their permits to see if maybe they put capital expenditures or something in there for a roof or something, but they just seem excessively high, and I don't know why that is.
You're talking about the $45,000?
No, the maintenance and repairs expense only.
$22,000.
Correct.
But you don't know one way or the other.
No, I they just seem very high compared to everything that I look at when I look at the expenses for the county for this type of property, and I don't know why that is. So I just want to point out that they seem high.
That's true.
Now, if you will, please turn to the page that is their lease-up cost analysis.
What does that look like? Oh, okay. Okay. Discount, okay.
I noticed a lot of things on this, so if you will, just bear with me here. the first thing that I noticed is the total square footage of the building is 10,064 square feet. And if you deduct the beginning occupancy from what they're showing as their lease-up amount, or add them together, I should say, it doesn't total 10,064 square feet. It's about 1,000 square feet short of the total.
That's because you don't reach 100% occupancy.
You still should be using
90%.
It. 90%? You still should, in my opinion. I've also never, ever in my life seen a lease-up done going backwards. You should always be going forward because you're estimating the future. If you were going backwards, then you would be looking at a retrospective value.
That's a typo. It should have started as of January 1.
Okay. And also, I have never, nor do I think this space you would lease up 84 square feet a month. It doesn't make logical sense.
84 square feet, you said?
Yeah, that's what they're showing is being leased up every month. I have seen, we do have a few properties in the county that might have executive suites, but they're even bigger than that. This space, the way it's designed, I don't even think you would break it up like that.
Have you analyzed the discount cash flow in your concept here?
I did not complete one. However, I used to do them a lot when I did fee appraising. Another thing, you know, I know it's typical to include tenant improvement costs, leasing commissions. I don't know where the support for that information came from. Also, I believe in 2019, 2020, that vacant space was already built out. We went to inspect it, I believe it was 2 years ago. Is that correct, Doug?
Yes.
I think everything was done except for the flooring.
Correct.
Except what?
Flooring. They hadn't laid the flooring yet, but they were in the process. And, you know, I know that the petitioner has brought up what they're actually getting there and done this lease up. But again, we value property to assess everyone the same on a fee simple stabilized value. The next thing I would like you to look at is the page that starts the comparable sales.
Okay.
Comparable sale one is a qualified sale per Department of Revenue. However, when I researched this sale for our purposes, I did qualify it, but I was not able to find any listing information. It took 2 years to construct based on the time that the permits were issued and the time that they were closed. It is a professional office space, and I think it may have been billed to suit. So I just don't feel it's a great sale. The second sale did occur well after the date of value. And when I took a look at it, it is a related party sale.
Is it what?
It's a related party sale. It's the same individual selling it from one of his companies to another one of his companies.
That seemed to be the highest price of all the sales, though. It's a high price.
Yeah, and it's related. It's related. So I would not be able to consider that, as well as the fact that it sold in April of 2021. I can't go that far into the year. The third one, it also had a sale date that was well after the date of value. And if you look at it on an aerial photograph, it has some additional land that is probably excess or surplus land.
And it's substantially older than the subject, 1946?
Yes.
I'm assuming 46 years old, sorry.
Sale four is a good sale. However, this is a large multi-tenant professional retail property. It has about 20 units. Each unit only has about 450 square feet. So I just don't feel it's comparable. Sale five, of course, the pending sale five is the subject. Sale six is also our sale three, which we did make adjustments because it was built out as professional space.
That was also the tenant bought it, correct?
The tenant purchased this, you said?
Yes.
Sale six? Not according to what I've found.
Okay.
And then the last thing I want to touch on is, like I had said when I presented my information, from 2020 to 2021, I had reduced the value at the subject property. We are very close to this contract price. However, I was not in a position to reduce it anymore. And I'm, again, questioning why this building in this park always seems to have disputes, because I haven't had any other disputes on the buildings in the park. And it concerns me that, you know, there is a contract, yes, but that it went under contract so late in the year. And it is being purchased by a tenant who, to our knowledge, has been there sometime prior to November of 2019. So when this does close, I will not be able to consider it a qualified sale.
Why not?
Because it's a related party, because the tenant has purchased it.
I thought a related party is somebody that is associated with the owner.
A tenant is associated with the owner. According to my standards as an appraiser and DOR, I would not be able to qualify this sale. And one thing I'm wondering is...
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Would an existing tenant in a building pay more for a space or for the property because he's established there, or less?
I think it could go either way.
Pardon?
I think it could go either way, and I think that's why it shouldn't be taken into consideration, because one could pay more because they're already there, or they could say it's been sitting on the market and I'm a tenant, so I'm just going to make the owner an offer and he wants to get rid of it. It could go either way. So that's why we cannot consider sales that are between related parties, tenant and landlord.
Okay, thank you.
And I don't know if Mr. Heatley knows this, but it seems to me there's a very long contract period.
I think it's a financing problem.
Okay.
Trying to find financing, because I don't think it's going to appraise for what they're paying.
Okay. And that's all I have.
Okay. Mr. Eatley.
Yes, sir. I wanted to go over the property appraiser's evidence. And if I can get to page... She mentions the adjustments that she's done. One of the adjustments is for time, and it's a pretty significant adjustment on each of these sales, but I don't see where how these adjustments were derived. For instance, she's adjusting market condition adjustment on page 16, 11.4%, 13.5, 13.72, and then the other sale, 15. So over 15% adjustment, and I don't see anywhere where that has taken place or any calculation on how or what sales she paired to get to those adjustments. And that's the same with the location, age, quality design. They're just, I guess, subjective adjustments that the property appraiser made in looking at these sales. So I have a problem with the adjustments that were made on her improved sales charts to get to the valuation number that she was looking at. As well, I think it was the veterinary office, and I need to look at that again, was the veterinary office that was purchased by the tenant and not this other one. But one of those sales that you used was purchased by a tenant.
The veterinary office was not. I do know that for a fact.
It wasn't.
It was vacant.
So it was the hearing guy, Davis hearing guy, I believe, is who it was.
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. And then her lease fee is not truly the actual operating expenses and the,
What page?
On page, there, page 18.
Okay.
This is her analysis of a lease fee based on the asking rent, but the expenses that she used are not the actual operating expenses that the property incurred. In any event, she gets down to $634,000, so I don't know the relevance of that. But where I do have a problem with is on her pro forma income approach that's supposed to be on market, and that goes to page 27, when she talks about the rent ranges from $16 to $19 a square foot, and she makes, again, makes some adjustments to her rental rates. On page 29, she makes an adjustment of $2.47 to two of the triple net rental rates that she used in her analysis. I don't see anywhere in here where the $2.47 came from. Maybe she can explain it to me, but I don't see it in any of her evidence. So I'm kind of at a loss of where this $2.46. If it's triple net and the expenses, you know, are $3, you would think that without property tax, you would think your adjustment would even be higher than your expenses because you would be recouping the property tax portion of it. So $247 seems kind of low. We also have the asking rent for the subject at $12 a square foot for built-out medical office, is what the listing showed, and to estimate that it's worth $1,550 when they can't lease it at $12 is an issue, I think, that needs to be addressed as well. When we get to their expense comparables, again, I don't know the other properties. All we do know is the property, the subject property, and we have 3 years of operating history on that, and expenses for all 3 years are substantially higher than what these expense comps have shown in the past. And finally, when we get to page 38, again,
excuse me, what page were you on when we got to the expenses here?
I was on pages 33 and 34. She correlated to expenses, I believe, of $3.41, and over the past 3 years, the property has not experienced operating expenses that low.
Okay, thank you.
Page 38 is her, I guess, summary of her pro forma for a fee simple approach. Again, while it's actually in our favor, we still don't know where this $2.47 came from. And the biggest thing is she's stabilizing the property at 95% occupancy, but there's a cost it will take to get to stabilization. And I think that's part of the difference is because there is no allowance for the cost to get to 95% occupancy. So it's not stabilized. You just can't say it's 5% and this is where you're at. There's a cost to get to that stabilized number, and it hasn't been considered in her pro forma. And I think that's a bigger problem. And then, so the rent loss, there's not a consideration for rent loss, and there's not a consideration for cost to sell as well. And I believe that's about it for, I think that's about it. I think the bottom line here is that it was listed for sale, it's under contract, it's got a poor income history. Quite frankly, I don't know why we're here today, but we are. So in any event, that's pretty much the crux of our argument today.
Okay. I think I have sufficient information to draw from. Thank you very much. Have a good week.
Thank you.
End the petition.
Thank you.